This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, February 14th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to our second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As you know, today is Valentine's Day. It's also the memorial of Saints Cyril and Methodius, the patrons of Europe. On Mondays, traditionally we remember to pray for the souls in purgatory, especially those of our relatives and our loved ones who are being purified with the hope of getting to heaven someday. They need our prayers. Also, please keep my wife Cindy and our entire family in your prayers, Relevant Radio family. My father-in-law, Bill Helgard, passed away on Sunday morning after a long battle with COPD, that very difficult lung illness. There was a little miracle in our family because Bill received last rites after being away for the church for many years. And this happened literally a couple of hours after we prayed the Chapel of Divine Mercy on Saturday night. So we're extremely grateful, and please keep our family in your prayers. Now, if you're just joining us and you missed our first hour of the show, again, thank you so much for another spectacular Gift from the Heart Winter Pledge Drive. It was an unbelievable show of support. We reached our goal of $3 million and then some. And thank you so much because our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Lourdes, on the day of her feast, came through for us in a big-time way on Friday. We dedicated our morning portion of the pledge drive to Our Lady of Lourdes, and I know she was in the prayers throughout the entire day as well. Thank you again for allowing us to continue to bring Christ to the world through the media for yet another 3 months. The very happy totals, 3,126,000 plus from 15,888 donations from you, our Relevant Radio family. As I've said so many times, we can't do it without you. We're so, so grateful that you have come through once again. I want to bring in our very own news anchor, and Glenn, what a spectacular weekend and week and pledge drive. I mean, it's a lot to take in.
Oh, a lot of things going on there, John. First of all, condolences to you and your wife, Cindy, on the passing of your father-in-law there. I know that the Relevant Radio family is praying for you and the repose of his soul as well. Also, thanks to the Relevant Radio family for coming through so well last week with that Relevant Radio pledge drive, blasting through our $3 million goal, the total up over $3.1 million right now. If you missed an opportunity to share with Relevant Radio, you're always welcome to do that at 877-291-0123 or online at relevantradio.com. But we thank you so much for the world's greatest listeners. You're just awesome. We set records, I think, Friday morning for the biggest Friday morning ever for Morning Air. We appreciate that. And, of course, a huge day all day long, raising over $1 million in that one day. And, you know, the quicker we can do that, the more we can get back to regular programming. And that's good, John, for one and all.
Well, Glenn, I always say that the Morning Air show sets the tone for the entire day. Sometimes it's tough to be, you know, making phone calls and getting on your phone or your computer to make a donation. But our Morning Air family stepped up to the plate big time. In the 3 hours, we had over 730 donations, more than $150,000 just in those 3 hours alone. So every single one of you, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for listening to Relevant Radio. Thank you for believing in our mission. Glenn, obviously all eyes were on SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles last night for Super Bowl 56. What a Hollywood finish to this one.
Quite a game, under 2 minutes to go, and it was once again those Rams coming from behind. Is pretty much every team that that won in the playoffs. It was a back and forth battle throughout so much of the postseason, and the Rams going all in, signing some big stars, and those stars came through. Defensive lineman Aaron Donald, and you know, Cooper Kupp had a great game, declared the MVP as well. Matthew Stafford. Escaping Detroit, some might say, to get to a pretty good team with the Rams leading them in that last-minute drive as well. So, you know, everything a Super Bowl could be billed to be on the field.
Absolutely. And Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford was quite emotional as he spoke to NBC right after the game.
I'm so proud of this team. There's so many guys on our team that deserve this. So many great players, guys that have just given their heart and soul to this team. Guys that are either playing in this game or not, you know, because of injury or whatever it is. But I'm just so proud of this group. I mean, that game today is the story of our season. You know, it's up and down, it's tough, and we're a freaking tough team. Showed up late and got it done. I'm excited.
What a great finish for Matthew Stafford. He finally wins the Lombardi Trophy. And Glenn, you know, there was talk that the commercials were just not as impressive this time around. In fact, I was listening to different perspectives that were saying that, you know, it's just not as big a deal as it used to be, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Well, the commercials, you know, one big part of the fun, but for myself, watching it in a, you know, a kind of a crowded space, not really getting to concentrate as much on the commercials. Some made me laugh, some I didn't get, you know, but that's part of it. For if people are there for the game, others for the commercials, some for the food, but hopefully everyone had a good time.
Absolutely. As always, thanks for your insights. Thanks for your prayers. And again, and also for thanks for your participation in the Pledge Drive, Glenn, because obviously we are a team here on Morning Air. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely, John.
We begin every hour, first things first, in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Imagine all the saints, the heroes of our faith, the champions of our faith, crowded into a spiritual stadium, looking down from heaven on us, the faithful, running the race of our faith, cheering us on to that ultimate victory of heaven. The communion of saints in heaven are praying for us and interceding for us because we are one body in Christ. At the end of the race, at the finish line, stands our blessed Lord Jesus, waiting with open arms to reward us in paradise. Keep running the race of life and keep running with perseverance, with our eyes fixed on our leader, Christ Jesus the Lord. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, can you believe that Lent is right around the corner, folks? In fact, Ash Wednesday is coming up on March 2nd in a couple of weeks from this Wednesday. Here on Relevant Radio, you can take your Lent to the next level with Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass. They're free for you every single day. Because you loved last year's in-depth walkthrough of the Mass, we produce yet even more new exclusive video content for every day to enrich your passion for the Holy Mass. This premium edition video series goes even deeper behind the scenes, from the moment that you walk into a chapel to the very final blessing. From Ash Wednesday to Easter morning, illuminate your Lent with daily insights that you can only find right in your inbox. All you have to do is sign up for Father Aki's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass. You can do it today, this morning, in fact, relevantradio.com/Lent. Get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And once again, it's time to continue our weekly Be Formed weekly series. Last week, we talked about the epiclesis and the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to focus on the Eucharistic prayer. Joining us now to continue this series is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, as well as the director for the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always great to be with you.
Great to be with you as well, and great to hear Father Rocha. He's a classmate of mine from the seminary, and I remember going to seminary thinking, gosh, I wonder if anyone else likes sports. And one of the first guys I meet is a former, college football coach and became a great friend. And so now he's chaplain of the Chiefs and the Royals, and I'm chaplain for the Cubs. And it's just been a great friendship in these 25-plus years.
Yeah, we were very blessed to have him on last hour, breaking down last night's thrilling finish to Super Bowl 56. Father, I know you're a baseball guy, but I know you also love football. How much did you enjoy last night's game?
Yeah, it was a great game. Glenn said, I was with a group of friends watching the game, and the host of the party was from Cincinnati, so we were all kind of pulling for the Bengals. But either way, we didn't have a strong preference, and it was just a good game. And as Glenn said, almost every game in the playoffs this year came down to the last minute, which was exciting. You can't ask for nobody likes a blowout, in a big game like that, and it came through to be a very exciting game.
That is absolutely so true, and I know that one of the pluses of Super Bowl Sunday is that it really has become an unofficial American holiday. It brings everybody together, and it's just a reason to bring families together. That's the one thing that I love about it, no matter who you're rooting for.
Exactly. Yeah, it's I even have, I go to Guatemala each year to do some mission work, and I was talking to my buddy down there who was just ordained a transitional deacon, and they were watching the game in Guatemala. It's definitely a worldwide event, even for places where maybe American football might not even be understood. It's an event for sure.
Well, Father, it was nice to see lots of folks in Mass yesterday morning on Super Bowl Sunday, because I think it's so easy for people to forget to go to Mass. They're so caught up in watching all the pregame festivities that last literally all day. But we're going to switch gears here and talk about Holy Mass, which is really what needs to be first things first for us here on Morning Air. Can you talk about the Eucharistic prayer that priests like yourself choose for any given Mass? How do you make that decision? I never know whether it's going to be Eucharistic prayer 1, 2, or 3, or 4. And oftentimes I kind of guess, all right? I'm thinking, okay, I wonder which one they're going to use this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, so that option is up to the priest. And I know some people like to follow along the Eucharistic prayer with their missal or maybe in an app on their phone during COVID. And different priests have different preferences. I know some priests will use the Roman canon, which is the oldest Eucharistic prayer, number one. It's the longer prayer. It's often used on Sundays, and especially if it's about one of the saints that's named in the Eucharistic prayer. Eucharistic prayer number two is the shortest one, often used at daily Mass. Number three, that's the prayer that I often use on Sundays, unless, it's a big, I usually do on big feast days, I use Eucharistic prayer number one. And then on the other Sundays, I use number three. And number four, Eucharistic prayer number four kind of covers salvation history. And so if the readings that day are kind of walking us through the story of salvation, Eucharistic prayer number four might be most appropriate. So, but each priest has their own preferences, and there's also some additional Eucharistic prayers, two for reconciliation, and then four for various occasions that can be used in special occasions as well. So, I think it's nice to hear different ones. So, because sometimes if you hear the same thing over and over, you kind of tune it out. And I think it's good for us to try to listen anew at every Mass. What are the words that the priest is saying? Especially, you know, we talked about the Epiclesis last week, and today the words of institution, that combination of the calling down of the Holy Spirit and the Epiclesis, and then the words of institution that, you know, take and drink, this is my, or take and eat, this is my body, take and drink, this is the blood of the new covenant. Those words are when the bread and wine become the actual body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So that's like the highlight of the Mass, to really pay attention to what's going on.
Father Burke, can you talk about the language? Who's addressing who? For example, in Eucharistic prayer one, starts out, "To you, therefore, most merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord." The importance of who's being addressed in these different Eucharistic prayers.
Yes, so generally at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, the prayer is directed to God the Father. And then you'll hear a change in the wording when the priest elevates the host and he says, you'll hear, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body." And so the priest is speaking in first person singular, in the person of Jesus Christ. And that should be striking to our ears. Like, you might say, well, why is the priest saying this is my body? But that's through the power of holy orders. The priest is actually acting in the person of Jesus Christ, and he's saying, this is my body. We are actually at the Last Supper. You know, we are being transported to the Last Supper, and then we're also kneeling at the foot of the cross at Calvary. We are not re-crucifying Jesus. I think that's important to know, because that's sometimes what we're accused of doing. But it's a representation of the one sacrifice for all time. We are there present with the Lord. And I always say, if people really, and that's why we're doing Deformed, if people really understood what's happening at Mass, and that it's a miracle every time that this bread and wine are becoming the body and blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, that the church would be full every day of the week. But I think maybe we don't understand what's happening, or maybe it's become just a routine for us, that, you know, the numbers of people going to Mass has really dramatically dropped off over the last decade. So and I think that's why the bishops are doing this 3-year Eucharistic revival, to help us appreciate, wow, do we really understand that this miracle is happening at every Mass around the world?
And Father Burke, this re-presentation of the once-for-all sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, we have to understand it from the perspective that God is outside of time. And so we're re-entering the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus because he's outside of time every time the priest in persona Christi says the words of consecration.
Absolutely. And it brings us back to, like, the Last Supper was done in the context of a Passover meal. And so what the Jews would do every Passover, you know, they were instructed by God to take an unblemished lamb, to sacrifice it. They would eat the flesh of the lamb, and then they would take the blood and put it on the lintel, you know, the doorpost of the house, as a reminder that in that first Passover, the angel of death passed over the house so that the firstborn of that family would not be killed. And so Jesus, you know, was crucified on the Passover. He is the unblemished Lamb. That's why at Mass we say Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's sinless, and he offered his body on the cross, and we were instructed to eat his flesh. You know, and he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And so we're instructed to eat his flesh and not put his blood on the doorpost, but to drink his blood. And, you know, obviously during COVID, we're not able to receive the precious blood, but we believe that even the smallest particle of a consecrated host is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And so to really realize that we are, as you're saying, outside of time, that those Passover meals represented, they were present again at that first Passover. At the Mass, we are representing the one sacrifice for all time. We're there with the Lord. And as we've talked about over the last few weeks, we're to place our lives, our own selves on that paten and in that chalice, to offer ourselves to the Lord with that one sacrifice for all time of his son, Jesus. And so we are trying, the purpose of the Mass is we're learning how to love. You know, Jesus shows us what love is in the Mass by sacrificing, by laying down his life for us. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be transformed, you know, into this gift of ourselves, giving of ourselves for others, for the Lord and for others. And it goes against what the world tries to teach us, that life is about us and to be selfish, you know. So that's why we do the consecration, and at every Mass, it's a school of love, how to be transformed into this sacrificial offering to God.
And we do it perpetually, alluding to the Passover lamb when the priest says, do this in memory of me, saying Jesus' words. And this is why we do it time and time again at every Mass.
And the power of, you know, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so when Jesus speaks, things happen. You know, when God spoke in the first chapter of Genesis, the world was created. And so who is the Word of God? It's Jesus. He's the Word of God made flesh. And so when Jesus speaks, for example, when he says, be healed to someone, they were healed. When he says, rise from the dead, they rose from the dead. And so when he says through the priest at Mass, this is my body, this is my blood, it is his body and blood. And we have, you know, I encourage people, if you're not familiar with the Eucharistic miracles, to Google that and to see what has happened around the world over the centuries, that the bread and wine have actually become flesh and blood of a human being at Mass at various times, especially where maybe faith has been weak.
Father Burke, in the moments that we have left, we as Catholics believe in this technical term, transubstantiation. Can you explain what this is and how it's very difficult to put into words this miracle that happens at every Mass?
Yes. What we believe about transubstantiation is that the bread and wine actually truly become... In the Catechism, it says, under the consecrated species of bread and wine, Christ himself, living and glorious, is present in a true, real, and substantial manner, his body and blood, with his soul and his divinity. So we don't believe that it's a symbol. We don't believe that this just represents Jesus, but we believe that it is Jesus himself. And this is a core teaching of the Catholic Church, and really is what drew me and has drawn many converts into the Catholic faith, is the power of the Eucharist, being able to receive Jesus in that sacramental way at Mass is just an incredible gift from God.
It absolutely is. And Father Burke, thanks for really explaining the gift of the Holy Eucharist and your insights on the Eucharistic prayer here this morning. So much appreciated. God bless you, Father.
Thank you. Good to be with you. God bless you and your family, John, as you mourn the loss of your father-in-law. We'll be in our prayers.
Thank you so much, Father Burke. I really appreciate that. Father Burke Masters, the director of the Office for Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, the baseball priest and a longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Catholic author and mom Emily Jaminet will be with us to discuss five lessons that you can learn from the Sacred Heart of Jesus to have a heart-focused Valentine's Day. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side as Morning Air continues. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
And welcome back to Morning Air on a Monday morning. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And I want to say happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there listening. You are a Relevant Radio family. I hope you make it a beautiful and blessed day. Now, Valentine's Day in our next guest's home consists of making Valentine's boxes, filling out cards for classmates, expressing love to the family by making little hearts, and handing out chocolate boxes, especially welcome since Lent doesn't actually begin for over 2 weeks. All these things are really nice, but we can learn a lot more about what real love is if we turn to the source of love, Jesus the Lord and His Sacred Heart. Now joining us is Emily Jaminet to talk about five lessons that you can learn from the Sacred Heart of Jesus to have a heart-focused Valentine's Day. Emily Jaminet is a Catholic author, speaker, and radio personality. She's also a wife, podcaster, and mother of seven children. She's the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. Her most recent award-winning book is entitled Secrets of the Sacred Heart, 12 Ways to Claim Jesus' Promises in Your Life, and she can be found at EmilyJaminet.com as well. Good morning, Emily. Morning Air. Happy Valentine's Day to you. It's great to be with you once again.
It is so great to be with you, John. And, you know, this is a big day in our culture. Many people anticipate this day all year. But as Catholics, we are so blessed to know the value, the gift of the heart of Jesus, the standard of real love, and the lessons that we can learn by having this heart transformation. And it means so much to me, this devotion to the Sacred Heart. And for some of your listeners, if this is new for them, you know, in 1670, St. Margaret Mary Alico received these visions from Jesus where he told her about how much he loves humanity. He said, "Behold this heart which has loved men so much that it spared nothing, even into exhausting and consuming itself, to testify its love, and in return I receive from the greater part only ingratitude by their irreverence and sacrilege, and by their coldness and contentment they have for me in the sacrament of love." And, you know, I take those words to heart, John, because Jesus is inviting us to turn the culture away from, you know, a distorted view of love back to the beautiful gift of the heart of Jesus, and to receive his love, to live in his love, and to go forth and share his love with others.
Well, I'm with you. I love your passion and your devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Every Friday we try to remind the folks, especially on First Fridays, about just taking a moment to reflect and meditate on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I have a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus here in studio. Never leaves me as a never-ending reminder of what we're talking about today. It really helps to put Valentine's Day into context.
It really does, doesn't it? It's that my little six-year-old daughter drew in church yesterday a Sacred Heart. You know, even having the symbols, these holy stop signs, like you mentioned, in our office, in our home, and really allowing these images to remind us of the greatest gift we could ever receive, and that is of Jesus. And, you know, I again, refocus what is love. I can't help but think, John, about Matthew 11:28. It really is my favorite verse. Come to me, all who labor and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I mean, Jesus tells you what his heart is like. It's meek and it's humble. And, you know, meekness is not weakness, right? That is something that we have to get past, this idea of what is meek, what is humble. We just look at Jesus and we see all that he did for us and really recognizing that this is where our true life source comes from, is the heart of Jesus.
And what you just described is the first of your five lessons that we can learn from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This first lesson being to focus on Christ-centered love, what real love is all about. And I think that that scripture is absolutely perfect. In fact, you know, I always love also thinking about the prophet Jeremiah, who says, basically, you know, you will find me, you shall seek me when you find me with all your heart. That's what he really wants from us. He doesn't want us to just go through the motions. He wants us to focus on him with all of our heart. And that, as humans, that's not easy to do sometimes.
You're so right. I mean, we can even look to St. Paul, how he talks about how he was stripped away of his old self. He embraced this new, amazing gift of faith. So we can't let our past hold us chained down. Instead, we want to step forward and be experience this love. And even around days like this, telling our children what is love, expressing holy love to our family members, our spouses, this is really monumental. This is something the Sacred Heart has, these five lessons. And that first is knowing what does his love look like. It's meek and it's humble, and that's where we're going to receive our strength. You know, the second is expose and honor his heart so that you can be blessed and build up the civilization of love. As you mentioned, you have an image in your office. I have an image in my office. I have an image in my front room of the Holy Heart of Jesus. And what I realized is the more that we expose his heart and we learn to honor it and focus and have that prayer time, we want to be like Jesus, right? We want to be like Jesus. We want these hearts to take on new meaning. And, you know, John, I'm so excited. I have to share this quote from St. John Paul II that really I've been thinking about all weekend and refocusing even my own family, my own heart. And St. John Paul II said, "Consider building a covenant of love. Welcome the presence of the heart of Christ, entrusting your home to him. Before the open heart of Jesus, we seek to draw from him the true love that our families need. The family unite has a fundamental role in the construction of the civilization of love." So isn't that beautiful that we just want to go and learn to expose and honor and live out our faith in our home?
Absolutely. How can you not love St. John Paul II's heart? You can feel it in his words, just urging us on to try to really build a civilization of love by focusing on the heart of Christ, the heart of Jesus. I have you know that not only do we have a image of the Sacred Heart here in the office, but I also keep a little smaller one in my missal, so that right before communion, you spend a moment looking at the image of the Sacred Heart to remind you of who you are receiving in the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity, as we talked about with Father Burke in the last segment.
And I'm so glad you brought up the Holy Eucharist, right? Because this devotion reminds us, having the images in our home, exposing and honor, enthroning our Lord, like the work I do at Welcome His Heart, it builds up your faith life, and it connects what takes place at Mass. Now, for many of us, my third point is the wounded heart of Jesus heals us. And I think that's really important, that the most wounded of all hearts, right, John, is the heart of Christ. You know, you can think of the lance that came and pierced, the denial, the way he was treated by mankind. But that is the heart that heals. So if you are struggling on this day, Valentine's Day, with a broken heart, you know, this is the devotion for you. This is the devotion for all of us. This is an invitation for us to forgive and to seek forgiveness and to really develop the right sensitivities to those in our life and those who need our love.
Very, very beautifully put. We continue our conversation with Emily Ejeminent, a Catholic author and speaker. We're talking about Valentine's Day and the heart of Jesus, the sacred heart of Jesus. We got to take a little short time out. We'll be back on the other side with a lot more as we continue with Emily. Stay with us. There's a lot more to come here on Morning Air. Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep our stations running. Join in with hundreds of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us on this Valentine's Day. We continue our conversation with longtime contributor here on Morning Air, Emily Ejeminent, Catholic author and speaker, wife and mother of seven children. We're talking about five lessons you can learn from the Sacred Heart of Jesus to have a heart-focused Valentine's Day. Emily, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, John. This is, you know, important conversations, right? If we let the culture lead the conversation about what is love, oftentimes we're going to steer far away from the truths that we know as Catholics. And as we go through, you know, these lessons that we can learn from the heart of Jesus, they're lessons for every single day. And, you know, we were just discussing how a wounded heart of Christ is where we go for healing. And that's something that, you know, each one of us needs to be healed. Each one of us needs Jesus. And, you know, when we go to the heart of Jesus, we develop the right sensitivities to even, you know, maybe preventing those pains in the future. Because the standard of love for God is a gold standard. It's the one you want to stick with. You know, love is patient. It's kind. It's not envious. It's not arrogant or rude, right? It's a love that Jesus perfectly lived out. So I'm very excited about being on today to talk about this.
Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, if you want to open up and share what the Sacred Heart of Jesus means to you, what real love means to you here on this Valentine's Day, or perhaps you might have a question for Emily. Once again, 888-914-9149. We do have some open lines. 888-914-9149. Emily, can you talk about the fourth lesson? We've covered the first three. In fact, you know, real quickly, if you could just recap the first three for someone who might be just joining us.
Sure. You know, first, refocus on what is love. Like we said, I focused on that Matthew 11:28. Every busy parent knows that. Come to me, all who are labored and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus tells us his heart is meek and humble. The second is expose and honor his heart so that you can be blessed and build up the civilization of love right in your very own home. The third is, you know, this idea that the wounded heart of Jesus heals us. That's where we go for healing, for transformation in our own heart. And to say those difficult words of, you know, will you forgive me? I am sorry. It all takes meaning when we focus on what Jesus has done for us, what love looks like. The fourth one, you know, is, you know, I have seven kids, John. This is really hard for me, my husband, every family, but to remember to be clothed in virtue, right? Oftentimes, we have to remember we're striving to grow, not just in holiness, but in these steps forward, this ability to live out our faith and to be transformed, to put back away the ways of the world and to seek growth. I grew up in a family, John, where my dad would say he was working on, you know, not being short-tempered. He's like, I'm really trying. You know, he would tell us what he was working on. And I noticed myself.
Patience is a virtue. I say that to my wife all the time.
That's what I was thinking, patience. Is that yours too?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, hey, we all have our foibles and we all have our virtues and our vices that we have to work on. In fact, you know, I think it's good to always remember that virtues are nothing more than good habits and vices are bad habits.
Yep, and they all flow forward, those virtues, from the heart of Jesus. We can look at Jesus. He's our perfect example. And, you know, when we see a person who's got those virtues that we're striving for, you can see that oftentimes they've worked pretty hard at growing in that area. Or if you speak to them about their ability to be patient with their children, kind, you know, even just continuing to be faithful during those storms of life. So I just can't say enough about strive to grow in virtue and recognize that all those virtues flow from the heart of Jesus.
And St. Paul himself encourages us in various scriptures about growing in virtue. I know there's a couple of scriptures that you love that also help us to remind us of the importance of be clothed in virtue.
Yeah, really, be clothed in virtue is really important, that we understand, like we said before, that we want to put away past the you know, the ways of the world. And we know that, even I think about, you know, putting on even the armor of God, right, is recognizing that these things have value and that our prayer time is how it influences where we grow in virtue. It's not just our will, right? We're not just going to will it. We're going to pray that the Lord gives us that grace.
Absolutely. And our growth in virtue is like a marathon. It's a long race because it takes up our entire lives. Every day we try to do the best we can to tap into our Lord's heart and grow in these virtues, especially the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love.
Especially, you're right. And that's why, you know, for some of us parents, we might be out there, we might say, oh, I didn't baptize my children, or I didn't, you know, this is an opportunity to say, I need to call the church. I need to make sure my children are baptized so they can receive and be part of the family of God. And we too can renew our baptism. Every time I dip my hand right in that holy water, I remember the gift of my baptism, that cleansing, the gift of grace that we seek every day.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, John.
Oh, I was going to say I keep a little holy card in my prayer book that always reminds me that I was baptized on June 28th. And so, you know, it's just a little reminder that that's the day that I became a child of Jesus.
That's really beautiful. You know, as a parent who has a child going through confirmation this year, we've been talking a lot about the gifts and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we were able to look up our sacraments for him, you know, what day he had his baptism. And I think that as Catholics, that's such a gift that we have documentation of not only your documents in the church, but also even the saints. We know a lot about the saints from their documentation, such as the day they are baptized, where they are baptized, such a gift. And I was thinking, John, about this fifth point, you know, that the heart of Jesus is what calms our storms in life, sheds light and love into situations, and helps us to experience life with gratitude and joy. So I know I included a lot in that fifth point, but I do think it's really true. I notice more and more I'm constantly thinking about the heart of Jesus and how he is, you know, he's my standard of what is love. And a lot of times he can calm me down a little bit when I'm a little bit, you know, focused on the wrong things. I turn to anxiety. I turn to the world to answer my problems. But the truth is he sheds light with his love on what matters most.
No question about that. And, you know, calming storms. And it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. We're all going to be dealing with some type of storm in our life. We all have our own individual crosses. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and his Sacred Heart, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. And, you know, that's one of the things I've been talking to a number of priests, and I talk about it in Secrets of the Sacred Heart, the gift of the morning offering, right? When we offer up our joys, our sorrows, our trials, our difficulties to the heart of Jesus, uniting them with our Lord, everything has value. So even that storm you're going through, you know, can generate grace and help you grow closer to Jesus. So we have storms. Life is challenging. But Jesus does give us new meaning. And, you know, I was telling another friend this weekend, I was saying, that the Sacred Heart reveals hearts. He shows us, you know, the good, that how much he loves us, but there are times he reveals to us, you know, maybe the areas we need to grow. Maybe he might reveal to us where our children are. A lot of times I'll be able to listen. I'll say, Jesus, help me to understand, you know, where is this child at? Are they lonely? Are they angry? Are they, you know, suffering? What's going on, Lord? And instead of, as a parent, being afraid, I then am strengthened to say, and help me walk through the storm. Because, you know, being a Catholic parent has many trials, as you know, John, in this world. But we need to have the heart of Jesus so that we can love and we can come to this deeper wisdom that really Jesus is offering us through prayer and through reflection.
Emily, let's bring it back full circle here in the final moments. Today is Valentine's Day. It's a holiday for a lot of people around the country, celebrating love in their own respective way. Can you talk about the connection between real love and the source of real love, which is our Lord Jesus himself and his Sacred Heart, and how we can apply it to make it a more loving Valentine's Day with our loved ones?
Well, I think I can't imagine, John, not celebrating this day, Valentine's Day, and every day without true devotion to the heart of Jesus, because he gives us all love. We receive that love, we live in that love, and then we can offer it to others. So let's go forth and really give it others what they deserve, and that's the love of Christ, and that's what influences hearts and brings people back to faith.
Real quickly, where can our listeners go to learn more about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, something that you specialize in?
Well, I did put this article up on our blog at welcomehisheart.com, where I review these 5 points. We have wonderful materials at that website about how to grow closer to the heart of Jesus through the enthronement of the Sacred Heart and just exposing and honoring the image in your home. So I hope that they can come find me there, and you can always find me on social media or at emilyjaminet.com.
Outstanding. Well, I really appreciate your perspective, Emily. I think that if our listeners can focus on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we are living out our mission as Relevant Radio, bringing Christ to the world through this media of Relevant Radio. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
Emily Jamilet, the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Not a One. Little Chad was a shy, quiet young man. One day he came home and told his mother that he'd like to make a Valentine for everyone in his class. Her heart sank. She thought, I wish he wouldn't do that, because she'd watch the children when they'd walk home from school. Her Chad was always behind them. They laughed and hung on to each other and talked to each other, but Chad was never included. Nevertheless, she decided she'd go along with her son. So she purchased the paper and the glue and the crayons, and for 3 weeks, night after night, Chad painstakingly made 35 Valentines. Valentine's Day dawned, and Chad was beside himself with excitement. He carefully stacked them up, put them in a bag, and bolted out the door. His mother decided to bake him his favorite cookies and serve them nice and warm with a cool glass of milk when he came home from school. She just knew he'd be disappointed, and maybe that would ease the pain a little. It hurt her to think that he wouldn't get many Valentines, maybe none at all. That afternoon, she had the cookies and milk on the table. When she heard the children outside, she looked out the window, and sure enough, there they came, laughing and having the best time. And as always, there was Chad in the rear. He walked a little faster than usual. She fully expected him to burst into tears as soon as he got inside. His arms were empty, she noticed, and when the door opened, she choked back the tears. "Honey, I have some cookies and milk for you," she said, but he hardly heard her words. He just marched right on by, his face glowing, and all he could say was, "Not a one, not a one." His mother's heart sank at first, but then she noticed the huge smile on his face as he added, "I didn't forget a one, not a single one." Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves.
Thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you can always download any one of Glenn's Story Corners and listen to any one of our segments of any of our shows or any of our Morning Air podcasts on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. You can also shoot us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America with all your prayers and petitions. There's a lot to pray about, folks. 7 p.m. Central tonight. Also, you can pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy with Drew Mariani this afternoon in the Hour of Power, 3 p.m. Central here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For the entire team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy Valentine's Day. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.